Okay, we're back with two people I know very well, Alan Green, who's CEO of Brand Communications, and David Buick, who's still senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon.
He's still reading it.
Still.
Morning, top gentlemen. How are you?
How are you
Morning,
doing, David. Good. Right, good. Get straight into it, David. Barclays, bullet points.
Bullet points, basically, is that John McFarlane, the chairman, has had a terrible year. Where on the 1st of August 2015, Barclays share price was 300p,
yes,
with all to play for. It has fallen 46% in 6.5 months.
Didn't they get rid of the last guy?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
that's not a good move.
Which they've just agreed to pay him $500,000, haven't they?
Yeah. But I mean, I think we need to look at what's gone wrong. Is the fact is that John McFarlane has huffed and puffed as CEO, doing both jobs, which I always think is a very bad thing. You don't want to make a decision too quickly on who you're going to appoint as CEO. Well, they appointed Jez Staley on the 1st of December, so this lot here has really very little to do with him, except I imagine he'll have been in the loop. Why have the market taken it so badly? Well, OK, first and foremost, the dividend was cut. The profits of $2.073 billion, down 8% on the year, in my humble opinion, in isolation, is not that bad a figure. But when you cut the dividend, this is becoming monotonously regular with a number of companies. Okay, it's been mainly mining stocks. There's a little bit of oil stocks coming in there with that kind of thing. But is this the start of things?
This is my deflation dividend cut thing. It's my rant. I mean, there's no way dividends can be maintained in a deflationary environment. Just sooner or later, it takes a year, 2 years, 3 years, they've got to go down.
You're not going to find anybody in this room arguing with you.
No.
It's a fact.
Yeah, but something, the penny hasn't dropped.
Well, it's got to drop.
You'd be like, oh my God, they've cut the dividend. How could Barclays do it?
Easily. The reason is banks have been under the cosh. The biggest sellers of financial sector since the middle of last December have been sovereign wealth funds. They have decided this is a poor sector and it's got problems. And the problems are extra capital requirements, no inflation, deflation by your standards, which means margins are eroded to virtually nothing. That emerging markets, damaged by the Federal Reserve last year, are costing them a lot of money. The energy sector is costing them a lot of money because there are unserviced debt, which is non-performing.
Sorry, 2 points there, because if you're a layperson like myself, what the hell are they doing lending to shale gas people and emerging markets anyway? Shouldn't they be lending in the high street in the UK? Or at least in the first one?
Well, I'm basically talking about the banking sector, but you have a point.
Yeah.
But
they seem to find every dodgy operation.
Yeah, but there again, let's deal with Barclays, which we've got to get through, is that stripping out, I mean, if you look at the really top operating profit, I mean, I don't probably remember it, but it was $5.4 billion. It was very respectable.
Yeah.
$1.45 billion for
just down 2%.
$276 million for litigation for foreign exchange. $750 million impairment charges for the sale of Italy, Portugal and Spain.
And that was still down 2% as well.
And I want to sell 62.5% of my dodgy holdings in Barclays Africa, basically known to you and I as ABSA before. And when I say dodgy, that's slightly unkind, but they're non-performing. South Africa has got, what, a 30% drop in the value of the rand in the course of the last year or so? So there are problems. Now, what I got this morning, which I didn't want to hear, I'm not interested in what John McFarlane and Jez Staley have got to say about Brexit. That's a very limited interest to me. What are you going to do with this bank? Okay, no more non-core businesses, except that. Do you want to tell me about what's going to happen to New York, which basically has been a fantastic jewel in their crown for producing profits? Investment banking in London is now but a shadow of its former self, which we understand. But I'd want to hear plans for that. Very deaf, didn't hear that. Maybe I'm deaf.
They did say that investment banking revenues for the first quarter of next year are expected to fall. So
they imagine they're going to cut it back as well.
Yeah.
Apart from anything else. Also, you know, we need to know, we didn't get too much on the spat between Amanda Staveley and Barclays. There's a $900 million lawsuit there. So where's the good news?
Maybe that's why they were talking about Brexit.
Well, I think that's probably right. They need to focus on getting them.
So it's not even one of those updates where all the bad news has been taken, has been delivered, and there's nothing left to discount. It's not even that, is it?
The fact is, banking is probably a sector that investors shouldn't be in at the moment because it's very, very costly. I mean, To do the same amount of business that you did last year to do next year requires loads more capital. In an environment where I can't see interest rates going up substantially anywhere, so your margins have eroded all the time, this is a business that is getting rid of people like 1 o'clock and relying on technology, which you and I have discussed to a point of boredom. I hate that idea. It's a people's business. Yeah. Please don't give me technology and fintech and all that sort of thing. I want to deal with people, individuals, problems. It's not going to happen.
So that, actually, it's easier to understand the banking sector if you strip out Lloyds Banking, because they're the people who gave a special dividend. They're also, it's all light and fluffy and wonderful. I mean, what was the game there?
I mean, all right, Antonio Horta Osorio, as he goes off with £3 million to his bank, as the knight in shining armour, well done. But please don't let Lloyds off the hook.
Yeah, but then
they cost us, whatever it was, £20 billion.
Yes.
And, they were lucky, and it was luck, that they had no serious involvement in investment banking, apart from HBOS having a few, dodgy loans. Well, not a few, many dodgy loans, but not many of them were in investment banking. But I don't want to say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they cost us country a lot of money.
So the dividend was misplaced. I mean, that £2 billion should have been saved for something else, shouldn't it?
No, it should have gone back to the taxpayer, in my opinion. I can't have that at all. Market loved it. Lloyd's shares up 15%.
Well, thank you very much. £2 billion.
So they don't care what DBO thinks.
Yeah. Special dividend.
But I actually think he's wrong.
Everyone's apart.
All right. So that's That's just, I want to clear that up, because Lloyd's looked like the exception to
the. Yeah, but they did, because
proves the rule.
All the people, what I call the capitalist of society, punters have gone in at the lower levels. They've been royally rewarded, and they've got a fantastic dividend, which frankly they didn't deserve. For the fact is that we were always told the taxpayer, thank you very much for what you've done for us, and we will see you right. Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'm still waiting.
Let me enjoy them. Finally, new month, pension and punch and everything. We haven't had the calamities. Everything seems to be FTSE 6,000, 6,100. Was that it? That little sort of clear out at the beginning of the year?
Two things I don't like. First and foremost, there was a figure out yesterday, which follows in the wake of what happened with money funds in New York, is the withdrawal of funds was nearly £500 billion last month on behalf of UK investors. Now, you can say, well, hang on, be fair, the volatility in January and the early part of February was something to behold, which it was, made people very nervous, with huge companies losing double-digit figures, and gaining them, and people didn't actually know where they were. I don't think we're going through the floorboards, but I can't believe, with the level of uncertainty and the very poor volume of business that's going around, that we won't see pretty volatile conditions for another 3 months. But I'm not one who thinks I'm not a prophet of doom.
And just finally, just as a bit of humour, when do the American markets, or when do we factor in Donald Trump being president?
Trumponomics.
I think probably when he gets the nomination. And when's that, April?
So it's quite,
if by some extraordinary thing that Rubio can see him off the park. I don't think that. But comfort yourself that if he is nominated, that it will be Her Ladyship with the two L's, Hillary Clinton. I think the only thing that you need to worry about in your portfolio is if you've got any shares in banks left, they'll be trashed out of existence. And also, if you've got any shares in drugs, I wouldn't hold your breath.
David Buick, senior.
On that very happy note, yeah.
David Buick, I've got to read it now. Senior market commentator, Pamela Gordon. Thank you very much for coming in today.
It's a pleasure, and I'm sorry I haven't cheered you up.
We'll be back after the break.